This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Tuesday afternoon, March 5th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. This is Travel Tuesday. We'll talk about using artificial intelligence to help plan a trip in our next segment. But right now, Facebook and Instagram are experiencing technical problems today. Let's check in with Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force based in Chicago. Jerry, thank you for joining us today. And what now is the current status of the Facebook and Meta outage? It appears, at least as far as my accounts are concerned, that everything is back to normal. Is that the case for everyone else?
Yes, that is the case. And they actually have gone out and put an explanation out on their site to explain what happened. And it seems it's a configuration issue. Similar to what, you know, AT&T said theirs was. They have servers out there that are designed to respond faster than their main server, and it checks for errors. If it sees an error, then it deletes your information and goes back to the main server and copies it down again. The problem is this: it was at the main server that a change was made. And as a result, everything that was going out was an error. So it was a major disruption. Their systems actually never went down, but you couldn't access them. So as a result, they appeared to be down.
And this is similar in some respects to the Facebook and Instagram outage in 2021. And at that time, the services were down for 6 hours.
That's correct. And they were able to get this done faster. I think specifically because they had just made the change, right? So, you know, to make a change and not put it in a test environment or not put it out geographically a little at a time would seem to be a major mistake. I don't know if they did that and there weren't problems. But this is, you know, just another situation where these large companies now who are being accessed, you know, nationally and internationally, are either shooting themselves in the foot with their own configuration or having some type of hacking occur. I mean, in the last 30 days, there have been almost 9 and 10 individual system outages that can be directly attributed to hacking or inside configuration errors. And those are major outages, things like the United Healthcare issue and AT&T and now Facebook and, you know, Lurie's Medical Center in Chicago. There are a lot of things that are going on that are either human error on their part or internet security issues.
We are talking about the Facebook and Instagram outage with Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force in Chicago. What is a more likely event? A major outage caused by a hacker breaking into a computer system and shutting everything down, or just by good old-fashioned human error?
Generally, it is believed to be just good old-fashioned human error. I mean, you've got people who are constantly working on systems and are going to do something by mistake, which is why you should have multiple systems and processes in place to test those prior to. Now, the other side of it is malicious internal activity. And there are reports showing that malicious internal activity is actually greater than outside hackers. So you've got multiple types of incidents that can occur.
Jerry Irvine, CIO, Prescient Solutions, member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, utilizing AI to put together your next vacation.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday. Planning a trip can require hours of research, but there is a way to cut that time down. Let's talk about using artificial intelligence to make the process of travel planning easier with Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group and Professor of Advanced Media in Residence at the Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University. Shelley, thank you for joining us today. And the process of planning a vacation, it's a lot of fun, but it also is a lot of work, especially if you're trying to find things that will keep your kids amused either along the way or once you get there. And AI can be an incredible time saver.
There are so many different ways to do this using artificial intelligence right now. My favorite is probably Perplexity. It's Perplexity AI. I have no financial relationship with this group, but I just love this particular tool. What it does is about 10, 15, 20 minutes of Google searching for you in about 20 seconds. So you type in what you're interested in. If you're interested in a vacation location, if you're interested in things you might want to do there, anything you would start to research on Google, you just literally type it in, and Perplexity AI will give you a paragraph with links about what it is you've asked. It is one of the nicest experiences. They can then rewrite for you whatever you've asked for using Claude 3, the newest AI model, or GPT-4, which is what powers ChatGPT. So it has access to some of the most powerful AI models, but more importantly, it can go out to the internet and do research for you in a way that pretty much nothing else does. So if I was planning a trip right now, that's what I would do. I would type in the location. I would type in my, and I would be very detailed. I'm going on vacation with my family. I have two young kids. They are the following age. We like to do the following. We like to do this. What are the best? And like, let it rip. You'll be surprised at the outcome.
And so you could also customize it for, we're going to a particular city. Let's travel like a local. What are some places that are off the beaten path? And it will give you answers.
It's literally the same as spending as much time as you can imagine spending on Google, but not spending the time. It's quite remarkable. Now, look, there are other ways you can use. You know, look, we all think about AI as generative AI right now, and the Perplexity tool I was just telling you about, that is a generative AI tool and with some little extra juice in there because it goes out and searches the internet for you. But when you go to regular Google and you ask it to find you the lowest price on a plane, that's about as powerful an AI as there is in the world, too. It's not generative AI. It's Google doing what they do. So, you know, we're always using AI. You may not realize it, but we're always using AI when we search the web with Google. And they do have, you know, don't count them out. When you're looking for bargains and stuff, Google is all over that. So, but when you put those two tools together, a little bit of Googling, a little bit of Perplexity, you're going to find yourself in a very new place, and you're going to save an awful lot of time.
And above and beyond the AI telling you, go to the hole in the wall, ask for Gus, he'll give you the best clam chowder in the whole world. It can also help you in other aspects of travel. For example, it can help you pack. I mean, not literally, but give you suggestions on how to optimize all that space in your suitcase.
I think that people have tried this, and you get varying interesting results. Whether you go to ChatGPT or Perplexity or Claude or any of the large language model interfaces, and you say, I'm going on a 4-day trip to blank. It's, you know, this is the location. This is the time of year. This is the temperature. I'm going to have two formal dinners. And it will make you a packing list, and it will be pretty comprehensive. You can do that. You can literally ask for any kind of list. Remember, these are pattern matching tools. And so these lists exist. Professional travelers, you know, are you a traveler or a tourist? Well, you know, professional travelers have made these lists, and all of the large language models have scraped them. So you definitely are going to get great results when you ask very specific questions. Remember, when you ask any large language model anything, first you tell it who it's acting as. You're acting as a traveler going to blank, 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 blank. Then you say who the audience is. So your audience is a family of four or family of six or just me or whatever. You tell it exactly who it's for, and then you make the most detailed ask possible. And here's the trick. When you are done, you will say to it, If you need more information, ask me. So it'll play 20 questions with you. And at the very, very end, when you're ready to hit go, you say, please, oh, let's work this out step by step to ensure the best results. And it will go through its strategy before it actually gives you an output. And that will give you the finest output from any large language model.
And then very quickly, Shelley, this seems like a way, if you're not familiar with AI or you haven't used it an awful lot, this seems like a good low-stakes way in which to become comfortable with it.
It's super low-stakes because you know what you want to do anyway, and you're going to check it out anyway. What I like about Perplexity is it puts the links where it got the information right into the paragraph that it's giving you. Many of the other AI tools do not unless you ask them for it. So when you are using anything other than that, if you're using ChatGPT or Claude, ask it or Copilot, ask it for references. Please cite your references by including the URLs. That way you can check out where it got the information from. And lastly, please, please, please don't blindly trust any output from anything ever, any more than you trust a site that you found on Google. It's like, check this stuff out. After it tells you what to do, you know, do a little bit of research. And I don't mean by watching a YouTube video. Get on the phone. Make some, like, do not blindly trust anything that comes out of these models because, you know, you can't.
If the vacation goes south, Shelley, I'm just going to blame the AI hallucination. Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group, based at Syracuse University. Thank you for joining us today.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Retail vacancy in the Loop has pushed past 30% for the first time ever. Let's get insight on the situation from Rachel Herzog, commercial real estate reporter for Crane Chicago Business. Rachel, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like the pain in the downtown real estate space is evenly spread out. State Street, LaSalle Street, Michigan Avenue, all hurting right now.
Yeah, that's correct. And thank you so much for having me. This is a new report out from Chicago retail brokerage, Stone Real Estate, that shows that that retail vacancy rate has been increasing for the last 4 years and is now more than double the pre-pandemic rate of about 15%.
Now, you can't really blame this on pandemic shutdowns anymore because it seems like foot traffic downtown, either from tourists or from people who live there, has met or even surpassed pre-pandemic numbers, at least at certain times of the year. Is it just simply the same issues the entire retail space is facing, or are there some issues unique to Chicago?
One factor, particularly in the Loop, because it is the central business district, is that people aren't coming back into the office in large enough numbers to make a lot of these, you know, smaller businesses, lunch places, salad places, profitable for these retail landlords and business owners.
Now, is there some way that this space can be reinvented? Because you just hear over and over that that downtown Chicago and the Loop especially is the city's fastest growing neighborhood. There are efforts to reinvent LaSalle Street into a residential area, turn some of those old office towers into condos, and then you may have a giant development coming in the 78. Does that represent an opportunity for some of these distressed retail spaces?
Definitely. Yeah. What some experts have said that is that if there was a retail component on LaSalle Street, that would really help because there would be this built-in customer base of people downtown on Saturdays or Sundays to patronize these businesses.
And then when we're talking about retail space, you mentioned some of the lunch spots that used to be hot in pre-COVID times. When you think about downtown retail, maybe you have like the 50s model in your head of everybody dressing up and then taking the L to Marshall Fields to go shopping, or maybe the 90s where you go to the Sony store in Nike Town on North Michigan Avenue. It seems like those days are gone for good.
Yeah, it's a bit different now. And when I spoke to the author of this report, he said that, retail landlords and tenants are going to have to kind of get creative to figure out what it takes to kind of get these empty spaces occupied. Some of these spaces have just been occupied or unoccupied for 4, 5, or 6 years now. So it could be breaking up larger spaces. It could be even just doing like a pop-up just to get the lights on and get the space activated so that there's more energy in these corridors.
Rachel Herzog, commercial real estate reporter for Crane Chicago Business, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Still ahead on Travel Tuesday, looking at alternatives to crowded, expensive hotspots this summer.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday. As you look ahead to summer vacations, there are places that can provide a just as fun but less expensive alternative to the usual suspects. Let's get some help from Juliet Huddy, travel vlogger and curator of Jet Set Juliet. Find her online on X, formerly Twitter, at Jet Set Juliet. Juliet, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Bob.
And the practice of duping, just kind of reset everybody, is basically, it's kind of like finding the store brand version of a name brand vacation. So we're talking about, you know, what's Kirkland brand Disney World, essentially?
Exactly. That's a great way of putting it. But the thing is, you know, like a lot of these Kirkland brand products, you're getting something that's sometimes better. I know a lot of my Chicago friends love to hit up the Boston area during the summer, but obviously because it's a quick trip. But especially the beach areas in the summer, like Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, and Cape Cod. But here's the thing. We're going to start with the East Coast dupes. I would go a little further south, just off the coast of Connecticut and Montauk, Long Island. You have my favorite dupe. This is Block Island, Rhode Island. So you're still going to have the gorgeous beaches. You've got the seafood. You know, have you been there, by the way?
I have not been to Rhode Island, but we have vacationed in Maine the last couple of years.
Oh,
so
yeah. That's another option, honestly. You know, if we could go on for hours, I could tell you all sorts of options. But, you know, the Block Island vibe is very, it's still got the Vineyard Vines, L.L. Bean type of vibe without the massive crowds and really without the high prices comparatively. Plus, to get to Block Island, you have to take a ferry, which is kind of cool. But since there aren't a lot of chain hotels on the island, but actually there aren't any chain hotels, it's really just these little B&Bs and inns, you're going to see a lot of day trippers. So by the evening, the crowds that are all there during the day thin out, and you really feel like a local. And it's a really, really charming, charming place. So I would choose that definitely over the hot spots like Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, and Cape Cod.
I was going to say, if you go to vacation on Long Island, there's always a good possibility you can run into Billy Joel.
Yes. Well, you know, apparently he has moved away from he's down in Florida. And it's funny that you should mention that because, as Zoolander says, it's so hot right now. But I have to tell you, I am choosing the Carolinas instead of Florida. And my top choice would be Edisto Beach. This is a beautiful, beautiful beach just outside of Charleston. Andy Gerstner, your producer, knows about this. And Edisto Beach is really the sleeper on this list. You've got 4 miles of beautiful beach, but the vibe is just so tranquil, even in the middle of summer. And that's because there's not a lot of development nearby, like so many other beaches all over the East Coast. You're not going to see waterfront restaurants and shops and, you know, roller coasters and things like that. Instead, because it's part of an estuary, there's this incredible like wildlife, even right there by the beach. Souvenir hunting, natural souvenir hunting. Apparently, a lot of visitors go there and they find ancient fossils and shark's teeth and other crazy, you know, natural treasures, which is so cool. Plus, you're right outside of Charleston, which is amazing. But, you know, it's the East Coast culinary gem. It's filled with history, lots of great places to stay that won't break your bank account. I mean, there are some expensive places, but it is pretty affordable. Other towns in the Carolinas that stand out to me, Hilton Head, Kiowa Island, they've got the gorgeous beaches, plus they've got the golfing and tennis. And frankly, compared to the new, you know, hot spots in Florida like Naples or Boca, I think I want to say Billy moved to Boca. I could be wrong about that. But anyway, these towns like Hilton Head, Kiowa, these towns are a lot more affordable and they still have that upscale vibe, but it's a more casual upscale vibe.
Right, because if you want to do something just relaxed, you want to go hang out at the beach for a week, you want a chill beach, too, because you're not relaxing if you're basically like John Candy in Summer Rental looking for a postage stamp-sized piece of sand to put down all of your beach equipment.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are so many. I'm going to post some stuff on my Twitter because I really want you guys to see some other options because I know we have to wrap it up. But I did want to mention, I wanted to put my two cents in on Disney. You know, yes, it's iconic, but guys, it can be a nightmare financially and physically. The prices, put it this way, my husband and I spend 12 days in Europe and we pay less than what we would pay for 4 days at Disney. Plus, it's so hot and they don't do a really good job with shade, so you're waiting in these endless lines forever. Instead, do Dollywood, Busch Gardens, or Hershey Park, Pennsylvania. All three of these are cheaper than Disney, so that's the biggest attraction. But there are also reasons. I mean, you've got the Smoky Mountains by Dollywood, and who doesn't love Dolly Parton? You've got the beaches like St. Petersburg and Clearwater, some of the greatest beaches in the country by Busch Gardens in Tampa, plus nightlife. They've got great nightlife. And also Hershey Park. I like this choice because it's not all about the rides there. You've got Amish country nearby. You've got Gettysburg. So there's really a lot to do in these areas. And I got to tell you, experts are saying, I was reading this in Forbes and in Business Insider, they're saying Disney, yeah, it's iconic, but the rides aren't the coolest. A lot of these other parks have better rides, more exciting rides, more creative and more up to date.
Well, I can vouch for Hershey Park. We went there driving across the state of Pennsylvania over the summer and managed to get there an hour before closing, got a ride in, and then loaded up on all the Hershey candy that you can't get anywhere else because they have like the biggest Hershey gift shop you can possibly imagine.
Yeah, I can't go there. There's no way. It would be the end of me.
I walked out of there with Twizzlers socks and no guilt. Juliet Huddy, travel vlogger and curator, Jet Set Juliet. Find her on X at Jet Set Juliet. Thank you for joining us today.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Target is launching a paid membership program. Let's discuss the strategy with Bob Phibbs, CEO of the Retail Doctor in New York. Bob, thank you for joining us today. It sounds like Target is joining the ranks of Walmart / Sam's Club and the big daddy of the mall, Costco.
Well, there's a very good reason why, because Walmart announced in their earnings call that people that use their subscription program spend twice as much as those who don't. So it's a great part of the playbook to emulate, right?
Well, it makes perfect sense. I mean, because I could just tell you based on the way our household functions, if I had a dollar for every time I find myself in those walk-up spaces at the Target near our home, I wouldn't have to work. I could retire because just a lot of stuff happens at Target and when you make Target runs. And if you are a Target subscriber, what does that get you?
Well, you're going to be able to go through. You'll get free two-day shipping. You'll get an extra 5% off on your purchases. And, you know, they're looking to also relaunch their credit card, I think, as well. And they're looking to make this a big point because their comp sales were down about 4% or 5% in last quarter. So they've got the pressure on to find new ways to find revenue. And I think that's what Actually, that's what everybody's looking at, because subscriptions have a promise everything is going to be cheaper. But you and I both know with subscriptions, whether it's streaming or other apps and things, you don't necessarily use them as much as you first think.
And who is the competition in this space? You talked about how Walmart's subscription program was a sales driver for the retailer in Bentonville, Arkansas. But it seems like they're also going after Amazon Prime.
Well, it all started with Amazon, but you know, Amazon has that ace in the hole, which is they've got their video subscriptions, and they're I think they're $140 a month now with all of their perks. But you know, everyone's been kind of slow to catch up, and they're all trying to figure out what else could they do, because Amazon doesn't have a rewards program, so Target can offer that, and Walmart can offer that. But it's a world where How do we sew up that customer's wallet and brand their butt with our logo, right?
Well, it's very interesting you mentioned that, especially the video component of Amazon Prime. Walmart buying Vizio, the TV maker, to dip its toe into video advertising. Is that a potential future strategy for Target to find its smart TV vendor and acquire it?
Well, there's a lot of buzz around retail media networks in general, that you can control what's going on in the stores through your digital platform. And let's face it, I mean, Target has 100 million members of their free program. So that's an enviable group that you can hold on to in any way possible, right? And this is a new way to do it.
Bob Phibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor in New York, thank you for joining us today. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.